this is really fun. So, you know, everyone, we were locked down during COVID, and I thought, well, we need to be doing something for after this, because we thought we were all going to die, maybe, right? Just maybe for a second. We all thought, this could be it. The whole world could die. But I thought, but what if we don't? Actually, what if we don't? And people keep having babies, and marriages happen, and God's working, and what if there's something else happens? So I started thinking, in my time when I was nursing babies, I loved to look at things sometimes during when I'd be nursing. You know, you have the baby, and you're kind of like this, and you can actually look at a book, and you can read a book. So I thought, also, we have a literacy problem in this country, and a lot of kids are not exposed to the basic alphabet. And also, we have an actual crisis with people not knowing the Word of God enough. So I started compiling scriptures, and then sweet Liz Norton did the illustrations. And so we've got an ABC book that you guys will have it available in the bookstore. Next week, not tonight, but like next week if you want to come earlier, and you can get it next week. So it just goes through the ABCs, like all things, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So this is the most calm book. It's like wallpaper for your lap. So you've got, it goes through the letter C. I mean, all the illustrations are so pretty. So it just makes me happy to look at this book and think, oh my goodness, Liz, we got her busy, not, you know, she was able to do something that she loves with her art. And then to collect scripture, to be able for you guys to pass on to your kids, it's just so sweet. Some of the illustrations are just beautiful. And I think in my mind when I was compiling the scriptures, which obviously there's a lot more scriptures than just 26, but we just had fun doing this. And so that's something that I wanted you guys to be available for you to be able to get starting next week. But I wanted to announce now so that it's not a surprise when you come. So, and then the third thing I wanted to say before we, sweet Marna, start talking on our notes is I showed Marna right before we came out, which we were talking, and then I said, Marna, actually there's worship. So we could have kept on talking. It was pretty funny. But I said, look what I found, because I wanted to explain to you guys. You know, when you get up to share, it can be nerve-wracking, and it can be, you can have doubt. And there's a lot of things that can happen because the enemy doesn't want us to prosper. He doesn't want you guys to prosper. He doesn't want the very thing that we need in our life, which is the living water and the bread of life. He doesn't want you guys to have any of that. And so last night as I was, it was Monday, so that's Brett's day off. And so we were both busy doing things and we're reorganizing certain things. And so I was doing what everyone loves to do, clean out my closet. So I was cleaning out my closet. You didn't laugh. Do you guys like to clean out your closets? Yeah, okay, there we go. So I was just going through all kinds of stuff, and I found this older version. It was a New Living Bible that I had that had, like, broken. The binding had broken. So I knew the minute that I picked it up, I knew that I had, when I stopped reading out of that Bible, because the binding had broke so many times. But out slipped this piece of paper. And so, Judy Slaughter, you have to tell me if you recognize this. So I see my little post-it notes, and I can tell it was a time when I probably still had 20/20 vision because the writing is very tiny. So now I'll put on my 3.5 magoos and do this. So this is what it says. As I'm walking around last night with this Bible, I'm saying, Lord, can you confirm to me what it is you want me to talk to the women about? And it was that specific. And I had things in my mind, which Marna and I know we're going to talk about, but I just said, can you just confirm that for me? And then I noticed this piece of paper, and this is what it says. 2 Thessalonians, which you might want to write this down, because these are good notes. These are from Judy Slaughter, so I'm pretty sure. So it's 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 7 and 9. Follow our example. We make ourselves a model for you to follow. Your children will follow you. Your mothering is a ministry. Discipline. Eliminating. And then I don't know what the word is. I think it's concentration, but I think it meant to say distraction. And then it's point number one, yourself, then you'll be more effective in disciplining your child. And then my note says, teach us to say no to the bad and yes to the good God has for us. These are just nuggets, like nugget after nugget after nugget. And then this is Titus 2, verse 12. It teaches us to say, this is not the scripture, but this is a note on that scripture. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present day. Restraint and commitment for young ones. Read the scriptures. Be long-term thinkers. Avoid ministry burnout. And remember, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into joy today. And then successful parenting means becoming what you should be, staying close enough to your children for it to rub off. And then in Judges 7:17, follow my lead, do as I do. And that's Gideon from Judges 7:17. And if you want to, I can review these notes later. We can also put them on the notes we'll have online. But my point is, can you believe that it is exactly what we're talking about today? We're talking about being moms and getting ourselves ready for discipline. And that's just the Lord. So that, I feel like, is his kiss to us. Because that was just amazing timing for that to just pop out of my Bible that I had literally put away years ago because it was broken. So I just feel thankful that Marna is actually on this side of planet Earth. She's able to share with us again this week. And we have, again, tons and tons of notes to review. So now we'll pitter-patter to why we're here. So if you guys do want to open your journals and get your pens out, and what I thought would be best for us to do first is to start with just a quick review in case you missed scriptures from last week. So Marna talked a lot about Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6, trusting in the Lord with all of our heart and leaning not into our own understanding, and seeking first his kingdom in Matthew 6:33. And then remembering who he is from Isaiah 28, verses 29. All this also comes from the Lord Almighty, wonderful in counsel and magnificent in wisdom. So we talked about that. We talked about God, how John 1:1, he was from the very beginning. He was God and he was with God and the Word was God. And then the gentle shepherd, which we ended last week, pretty much ended with Isaiah 40:11, how he tends his flock like a shepherd and he gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. So we talked about that last week. If there were any questions, I'm sure your Titus 2 gals could help direct with that. And hopefully prayers that you mentioned last week to the Lord, it's neat if you today, even when you go back to your prayer circle, just to reiterate maybe some things that were answered, because that is a real possibility. This week, as we shift though, we wanted to just make sure and reiterate to you guys just the sweetness of the Lord. And I do think that me finding those post-it notes is just something that reminded me, and I want you to know, that you are in God's focus. It's really easy, I think, sometimes when you have a lot of demands and you have real needs, your body is demanding a lot from you, that you can think that you've been forgotten and you can think you've been overlooked or maybe not heard. And the thing is that's not true. And so tonight we want to just remind you that there's some things that we can do in terms of our own, like having a healthy relationship with the Lord, that we can do that is within our control, that can make it so that when things out there are kind of out of our control, you can just remember it's you and Jesus, he's got you, and it's gonna be okay. So the first thing, and I mean, I apologize, but the lights and things, sometimes I can't actually see the Bible very well, so my notes on my phone are what I'm gonna be using. I'm not sure if you are able to do that too. Plus, I don't know how to do the black thing. She's got the black. I don't have that. I think it's a newer phone.
I tried to help her, but well, they haven't helped me. So
I'm trying my best. Okay, so it's Zephaniah 3:17, and I love this scripture so much. And this is pertaining to how, just so you can know that we are in God's focus, all of us collectively, but individually, because God's omnipresent and he's able to be with every single person individually at any moment in time. It's a sweet, sweet thing to think about. But Zephaniah says, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love." Did you have anything you wanted to add to that part?
No,
it's okay.
I just loved it. I love that one.
So the other thing then I wanted to segue into was just a reminder, and I know that we have actually I mean, we've been to many, many Bible studies by now. Truly, this is not news, but God does have a design for marriage. It's just that I feel like in this day, it can't be emphasized enough because it's being questioned left and right and left and right. And I just don't want you guys to feel instability in terms of you can start listening to the world so much that you start believing what the world says, and we're called to be separated from that. So if you would just turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, and I want you to actually look at it in the Bible and just remind ourselves that in verse 27, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." And then flip over to Ephesians chapter 5. And that's going to be Ephesians 5, verse 26 and 27. And again, I know this will be familiar, but we just want to continue to set our minds on the Lord and what he has in his word. So one of the purposes, and I'm skipping over the husband part, because I don't want us to compare. But in verse 26, it does say, let me back up here with my glasses. Okay, and this is for us. "And to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with pure water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." And then it goes on to talk about the roles for the husbands. Now back to Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 24. So in the scriptures, it says in verse 18 of chapter 2 in Genesis, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.' Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whenever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place of the flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man." And then he says, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." And then chapter 3, we're not going to talk about right now. The point is, there's a design in marriage between a man and a woman, and it's God's masterpiece. He's taking a fraction of a person who's not whole until that person meets his mate for life. When the man meets the woman and the woman meets the man, and they say to each other, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." And to do that, you know, we've heard about skin grafting and so many things through the years with surgery, and it's like amazing. But that's how closely God wants us to be knit together with our spouse. So how much more do you think the enemy, speaking of chapter 3, wants to get in and just rip that wide open? It's a definite, obvious no-brainer that our marriages are under attack all the time. But going back to what we just talked about with Zephaniah 3:17, just remember that the Lord delights in you. He can cause you to be quiet and to quiet your heart, and he's at rest with his love for you. Maybe you have turbulence in your own life, but the Lord is at rest with you. So now, one thing I was going to share, and then we're going to segue to Marna because she has a couple points to say. The things that we share with you in this class, it's a temptation for you to be really excited and to be so excited that you think that your mind, because your flesh is your flesh with your husband and bone of my bone and flesh of my bone. So of course his mind is going to instantly meld with yours, and he's going to understand everything that you've been tracking and be on board. And so I wanted to just take a moment to pause and cause you to maybe write down in your notes to let your husband be him. Just let him be who he is. And you be who you are and walk with Jesus and love Jesus. But try not to think that you're going to do an instant mind meld and have all of this just go together, because he might not understand what you're talking about. And then you might get into a little, what do they say in England, a row.
Yes, or we could say a robust conversation.
A robust conversation. We don't want to have a robust conversation. We want fellowship. Kind, happy, cozy garden space, fellowship. Don't worry about that. So Marna's going to share a few things that will help you with that, too.
Okay.
Yeah, that will help with just our roles more and being at rest with that and looking to Jesus in that.
And how good the Lord is. And I love the verse you shared from Zephaniah 3:17. And my version says, he will quiet you with his love. But he also, like you say, he is at rest.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the versions can sometimes say different things that actually fit together. Don't take my word for that. I'm not the pastor, but I think that's true. But I love that, because what happens when we seek the Lord, when we take that time to be with him? So often I will go because I need his help, and so often I will have an idea of what he wants to do and what he wants me to change. And as I spend the time, what does he do? He lets me know he loves me, and that quiets my heart like nothing else, because we are created for him. And that I absolutely love that verse. And on that too, I just had it right here.
Oh, that's okay. Can everyone hear us all right? Okay, great. That's good.
Okay. And just to kind of segue with what Debbie was saying in 1 Corinthians 11:3, it says, "But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God." And it's such a wonderful thing when we accept the Lord's order. Order brings peace. And when we accept the Lord's order and cooperate with him and surrender to him, it is just amazing what he will do in our lives. The prayers that will be answered, the desires that will be met, and maybe it won't be for a while. Maybe he does give us practice in waiting. But I've really loved this, because it's about God loving us and us loving God. And husbands and wives, you know, when he unites us, we become one. That bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. We become united with each other and become one. And it takes time. You know, like Debbie's saying, there's not just a mind meld. Like, how could you not understand what I was meaning? Like, you know, as has been said before. But I love that we are clay in the potter's hands. And he brings us together, and it's beautiful. Don't we all love the romance, the getting married, how we fit together, the wedding? But then we are clay in his hands, and there will be some pushing and pinching and maybe some smashing. And we will discover within ourselves that there are some, what do they say, you know, things that need to be dealt with. And then he reforms us, and it's a new thing. And I love that throughout our lives, the Lord is the potter and we are the clay, and he is doing that with our marriages. There's never a time, I know there are things that I learned early on in marriage, and I had this thought, oh, I've learned that now, neat. Then the next stage of life comes, and it's like, I need the reminder, and I have to learn it again. And now we're in a stage of life where I'm having to kind of learn how these things apply to this stage of life. Because at this stage of life, marriages still need a lot of TLC. Husbands need a lot of love, and wives need a lot of understanding. And we need the Lord at every stage in our lives. Didn't mean to go on and on like that, but.
I love that.
But, oh, that's so sweet.
That's so sweet. Now, one thing I have to just say. So sweet Melinda is sitting next to Judy. That's Judy's daughter, Melinda. So this is a total segue, but it's connecting to the first moment I saw Marna. So Melinda was my sweet new friend at this church that I had gone to, and this is how I met Melinda. Melinda came up to me, and she said, "Hi, my name is Melinda, and I'm going to be your friend." And I was like, "Who is this?" Because I was social, but I wasn't. She was more social than me. I was like, I can't believe it. So we were friends from that minute on, and I would see Melinda, and it was really sweet. Well, one day we were at church, and Melinda said, "You haven't met Marna yet? Marna and Tad are getting married. At least I think this is how it's going." And so it was a communion night, and we, like our Sunday night worships, and she said, "Oh, well, come over." Somehow I think we went over to where Marna was. Tad was there too. But Marna Because she, they were getting married like the next week, and she was just
so happy.
And Todd was so cute. They were such a cute little couple. But she, I think you were confirming maybe with Jenny, Brett's sister. Are you guys going to go to the wedding?
Oh, maybe.
It was just so cute. And
it ended up
that
being,
was the first time I ever saw at all Marna.
She ended up being my friend grandmother. We share grandchildren because her daughter married my son.
Yeah, Brett's sister.
So yes.
Yeah, that's that connection. That's so Brett has a sister who had Lindsay, and Lindsay married Joel, Marna's oldest. So we are very distantly related.
Yeah. Yes, we had fun when their first little one was born. We had fun writing to Brett and Debbie. Well, Brett and Dad are finally related. Brett's her great uncle and Tad's her grandfather.
So fun.
That was fun. So that's to go with that. Okay, so tell fun stories about Melinda.
Yeah,
Melinda's adorable.
Is it
sorry,
okay?
Melinda,
can we have fun stories about you? Do you give us permission to make fun of you, Melinda?
It's not make fun.
We're just kidding. We're not making
adorable.
Fun.
She so when I first met Tad's family, we were going to Eastwood Baptist Church in Medford, Oregon, and it was just really wonderful. In fact, that's where I met Judy Pierce's her daughter-in-law Molly. That's where I met her parents. They were my youth pastors. But I just remember one day Melinda came up to me at church, and she was in eighth grade, and she had her perfect darling French braids that Judy had done, and her darling smile that she still has, and she just said, "My brother thinks you're the cutest girl at church today, and he has a girlfriend." And later, when it finally happened that Tad and I, you know, as my grandparents would say, began keeping company. And I was telling Tad about that. He said, "I knew what I was doing. I knew if I told her, she'd go tell you." So what sisters are for. Linda's been wonderful. But getting back to what we were saying, I suppose. I love what the Lord has for us, that wholeness, unity. Even when we think about His love for us, He wants us to love Him wholeheartedly. And anything that gets in there to divide our love for Him, He's jealous over us to get that out of there. He wants us to love Him wholeheartedly. He loves us wholeheartedly. And that is also reflected in marriage, to love our husbands wholeheartedly. And as we all know, there are times when that's not always an easy thing to do. But Jesus is in our marriage with us. And He's the one that can help us. And that, I think, kind of going with what Debbie was saying, that, you know, that our husbands, we want to look to them for our fulfillment, but they are also human beings like us, and it's Jesus who fulfills us. Mm-hmm. And that's where I have loved. There are times when the Lord has just blessed me and helped me so much with these verses in 1 Peter 3, where verse 5, it says, "For in this way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear." And that's very often the temptation for us to want to take over, is that fear enters in. But if we can put our hope in the Lord, like Sarah, we are her daughters, and look to our husbands, because the Lord is in it with us. He will help our husbands. He will help us. But I also love, as for a balance, in Genesis chapter 21, when Sarah was pleading with Abraham to do something with the slave woman and her son, because the son was treating Isaac badly, and the Lord also had the balance, you know, of telling Abraham to listen to his wife, because she was wanting to preserve what was right and what was good. So I love that we have the balance. We do look to our husbands as our leaders, and we put our hope in the Lord. He helps us. But there are also times when our husbands do need to hear from us, and that's where prayer comes into it, just to be constantly in prayer and asking the Lord for help, because He will open doors, He will close doors. He will speak to us when to speak, when to be quiet and pray. Because the same Holy Spirit, if your husband is a Christian, that lives in you, lives in your husband. And the Lord can work through, He works in him too. So
that's so great. I love that so much. So 1 Peter 3 and then Genesis 21 for your notes. And all of these things, just jot them down and then review them over the week. Journal to the Lord about those things, how you can be working that into your life. But we both just have, you know, we've walked a lot of miles, and it's really substantial, especially for your first one. I mean, those of you who are, this is your first child, the transition that's going to take place for you is going to be pretty substantial. So we just really want you to be strengthened and encouraged and really protected from, you know, the tricks of the enemy and things. Part of that is making sure that you have your spiritual warfare in Ephesians 6, just going through and really praying all of that in, asking God, you know, I put on my helmet, here's my shield of faith, really holding up the armor of the Lord, right, on your behalf of your family. But one of the reasons why we think it's important for you to have a good relationship with the Lord, also having a good, healthy relationship with your husband, is, I mean, besides, duh, everyone wants a good marriage, right? We all want to have a good marriage. But like healthy, mentally healthy. Because when you have a baby, the habits that you have in your marriage, it's really easy to sort of mush that into your baby. And here's what happens sometimes is, and it kind of depends on where everyone's at, right? But everybody is different in terms of where they've come from, what their background is, what their family has been like, whatever it is. But the balance is right here in the Word. This is where you can reset everything. And so as long as you go into it knowing that, like, Lord, my compass is your Word. You're the one that has made me. I know that I am destined to be a mom. You've given me this child, and I'm going to walk with you in this. So like Marna was saying, you can be so free, but quickly you can suddenly be bound. And we just want to help you not be bound. And that's because of the emotional side that can take place. So there's emotions that happen when you have your baby and then you're nursing and all that. And we just want to encourage you, just let the wave of emotion ride out, because it's going to be fine. And your body, amazingly, physiologically, it can take care of itself. But it is really, really good for you to have that healthy relationship with the Lord. And then also, if you haven't gotten your communication pieces down with your husband yet, it's really good for you to dial that in before you have the baby. Now, ideally, what's going to happen, this is the cycle, right? A healthy cycle. The man or the woman walks with Christ, and the woman's walking with Christ. And then together, the two of you walk with Christ, which is what Marna was just talking about. And then the thing is Jesus, he is the present and active part of each one of those scenarios. The Brett and Debbie together, the Brett separate, the Debbie separate. Jesus is the head of all of those things. The Tad and Marna scenario, the Marna scenario, the Tad scenario. He is the head of all of that. And so what protects that marriage is really the Lord. It is the Lord. And so that's what you're going to need to fight for in your life in terms of getting on your knees and spiritually making sure that you navigate through when things are spiritually maybe a little, you're disconnected and you feel like, wow, in my heart, I feel disconnected. For you to be able to have enough wherewithal to identify some of those things, it's very important, because if you can't name what it is that you're experiencing or you're feeling, like, let's just say, I'll give you an example. On one of my babies, I got mastitis. Never a good time. Okay, so I remember having mastitis thinking, wow, this might be comparable to, you know, level 2 of my labor, because the intensity of the pain. But did I make that pain, what did that do for me? That signaled to my mind and my body that something was wrong, right? So that's how it is with your feelings. Okay? And you're going to have a lot of feelings. And guess what? Your baby is going to have a lot of feelings. Oh, my word. So we have to get this down now so that we don't have two toddlers running around the house. We have to make sure that you have your wits about you and you're able to go ahead and have the happy chat with your child and everything's going to be okay. But just remember that your feelings, it is giving you a signal. That's why you have the feelings. And it's okay. You don't have to apologize for that. But it's what you do with those feelings. And the thing is, that is what it is in terms of what the cycle is. Your husband's walking with the Lord, and you're walking with the Lord, and together you have the Lord encircling you both, being very safe. But as Marna said, your husband is not your fulfillment. Because, see, as soon as you step out of your relationship with the Lord, you're going to cling to something else. If you're going to cling to your husband, that's going to make him probably feel like what? Probably go in the other direction, getting real busy with other things or hobbies or whatever it is. You just want to manage that. So instead of clinging on to him, being able to go to the Lord and say, Lord, this is what I'm feeling. I'm feeling this way. So, and identify that. And this is very important, and a little bit later, we're going to tell you why it's important as it pertains to mothering. But if you can just say, okay, Lord, I am really aware that I'm feeling like this, but I also accept that I am the one that's feeling like this. Mm-hmm. Brett is not the reason why I'm feeling like this. Mm-hmm. Tad is not the reason Marna is feeling the way she's feeling. And then asking God to be a part of it, right? We can really ask God to be a part of this. Say, Lord, I'm confused by this feeling. I don't know where it's coming from. Can you help me identify where this feeling's coming from? In my case, the mastitis, okay? Okay, I know I have an infection. There's something going on. I need to take medicine. What do I need to do on this? Take medicine, go to the doctor. How do I go about doing that? Okay, I'll get a plan. I'll be able to go to the doctor. I'll get the medicine, and then I'll feel better. So that's just a healthy way to actually work through just one little indicator. Ow, mastitis. Instead of blowing through, you know, everything, just identify what it is that you're feeling and then work through how to actually take care of that. Because you do have to take care of yourself. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. When you have a baby, it's really easy to care about everything else except for yourself. And what happens is you suddenly get yourself into the dryer cycle where you're just getting tumbled and tumbled and tumbled. And then in my case, Brett walks in the room and I've been going through the tumble cycle. What do I want to do? I want to grab onto Brett. But he's not my fulfillment. Are you kidding? He's not my fulfillment. I mean, he's the one that's going to say, I'm not God. He's not actually going to say that. But in reality, that's what our husbands would do is say, why are you looking to me for something I could never, ever, ever even come close to fulfilling? Don't do it. Don't do it.
It can happen for a minute in a movie.
Yeah, in the movie. It's really cute in the movie. It's funny
it's
in the movie.
Real life.
Something now, that I love that Marna is going to share too. Are you going to go to Lamentations right now?
Oh, I could. And then
that'd be great.
Only if you want to. I could tell a story about that.
Oh, yes.
What
I
you
do.
Just.
She's going to share a story.
What she just shared about how the Lord helped me.
Oh, good. That's good.
And that
this is good. It's always good.
Well, and that is, you know, we're in those early years. We had, I think it was just Joel. Maybe I was expecting Amy. But, you know, we're in those years when a man does work by the sweat of his brow. And Tad was gone, and he was gone some more, and he was gone some more. And when he was home, he was tired. and there were all of these things that I felt like needed to be taking place within our home and within our marriage that seemed to we didn't have time for. So our pastor at the time had talked about, you know what, just pray. I don't care if you're hanging on the back of the bus, just start praying about it. Don't feel like your prayer has to be perfect. And somehow that just freed me up, and I started really praying about it, combined with Hebrews chapter 4 about going boldly before the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in our time of need. So I decided, okay, Lord, I'm just going to tell you know, there's this that's not getting done, and I think it's not going to work out, and about, you know, this situation, and so, I mean, you know, this is about your maturity. Could you please speak to him about these things? So, now, it just sounds so prideful for me to sit up here and say that, but that's the reality. It was, and I was. And praise the Lord, because I could go boldly before the throne of grace. It's the throne of grace. He loved me. Through his grace, through his forgiveness, he loved me. And I just kept praying. And then one day I was sitting there praying, and literally, it's not like it was an audible voice, but it was a voice in my head saying, have you thought about how this is for him? As in his job, as in the load he was carrying, as in all that he was doing. And for some reason, that just, it stopped me cold in my tracks. I literally actually started crying. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I have been so centered around myself and not even thinking about what it is for him. I'm so sorry. I mean, I love when the Holy Spirit convicts, because it brings us to our knees. It helps us to humble ourselves and realize, I'm not so all important after all. Mm-hmm. But the Lord helped me to learn to pray for him. And Lord, how can I lighten the load for him? And there's more stories that can come on that later. Mm-hmm. But that was kind of the beginning of just realizing, oh, the Lord will help me. And I'm so thankful again. I wasn't chastised, but I was convicted. And the change brought about a really good and healthy change in our lives and in our relationship.
Mm-hmm. So good. Yeah. It's sweet. In Lamentations, if you guys want to turn to Lamentations 3, actually, go to Psalm 37, verse 4. And that was something that we wanted to run by you guys, just for you to hear, to light yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And really, all of Psalm 37, as you guys know, if you just read the first part of each sentence, do not fret, for like the grass, they will soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell, and you keep going, delight yourself in the Lord, commit your way to the Lord. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn. If you just keep on going through Psalm 37, it's so sweet. But that's like, if you hang out there with the Lord and bring your concerns about your husband to the Lord, it's going to look a lot different than how it could look if you didn't do that, which probably sounds maybe very elementary, but it's funny. You can just forget. You can forget the very basic things that we really should just, let's try to hold ourselves from fretting and actually like identify that. Like, I actually am really fretting. But what does the Lord say about that? Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. And then, for like the grass they soon will wither, like the green plants they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. That's your next job. Elizabeth Elliot would say, do the next thing. So this is the next thing. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That has nothing to do, really, with your husband. And it has nothing to do with the circumstances of your baby. It's you with the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. So getting back to the marriage plan, so it's the marriage covenant that encircles the couple that we talked about before. And it's a promise that's made by you and your husband to care and to protect and to set apart your relationship to God. It is the number one relationship besides God that you'll ever have in the whole world. And I think that's really easy for us to forget. We have a really weird situation in our country where we've got so much of so many things that we don't have to really worry actually about a lot. So we do things like girls' night out and all this stuff when it's like, no, actually, let's back everything up and let's think about what's real. The number one thing in your relationship is God and then your husband. You've taken that oath. It's a vow you've made, and you are to protect it and serve the Lord by serving that marriage. So in that, you say, well, why? Really, why? Well, the purpose is, we read in Genesis, so that the man would not be alone. The Lord actually wants us to have that companionship and that sweetness and that intimacy of a relationship like that. But he also wants us to glorify him and in sharing his love. So we share his love with each other, but as a couple, we can share his love with whoever it is that we talk with. But the enemy would love to get in and create huge obstructions and huge restrictions in what you can do as a couple by tripping you up, by tripping me up, by tripping Brett up or Tad and Marna, any of us in this room, anywhere online. The more the enemy can get us stuck on what we think our thing is and not delighting in the Lord and trusting in the Lord and doing good, the more the enemy can get us off of that, then we're restricted. So we want to take off those restrictions. That's what we wanted to really kind of help, you know, us tonight as a group to see. So one way that can really actually help you to really help just foster that relationship that you have with the Lord is to, and I'll just have you write down these scriptures and you can look at them at your leisure. There's one that I'll go to, maybe a couple, depends on how fast we flip. But Psalm 113, verse 5 through 9 is really sweet in terms of answering the question, who is Jesus? So 113, verse 5, it says, who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princes of their people. He settles the barren woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. And then, if you can, just write down. You don't have to flip there. I'll do it for you. Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7. And this is so sweet when you think about who is Jesus. It says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation, increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be the destined for burning, will be the fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And it continues on to talk about Jesus. I can't tell you how many times it's been so awesome in my life to be able to go to Jesus with this scripture and say, Lord, you are the child that was born for us. You were given to us. You are my Wonderful Counselor. You're my Mighty God. You're my Everlasting Father. You are the Prince of Peace. In spite of all my circumstances outwardly, this is who you are. So it's really important and healthy for you to keep that mind, because I think if you can set yourself straight with who Jesus is, with who God has given you in terms of our Savior, it's going to help to make a lot of the other things, the things you think are problems, become a lot smaller, if that makes sense. And then the final scripture that I wanted to share with you from this section before we move on is Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 for your notes. And that scripture says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Again, that's who you get to go to. Your literal Prince of Peace, who literally is your high priest, who literally is the King of Kings, your Everlasting Father, he's who you get to go to. So in light of that, we're going to switch over here in a second to how this applies to being a mom. So if you talk about the principles that we just spoke about, the marriage relationship, and then you apply it to your parenting, what you get is a couple of things that are the same. You get people who are vulnerable, which a baby is vulnerable. And you get people who have value, and babies have value. We live in a culture that's trying to devalue that, but not this group. This group is saying babies have value. And that's the truth. God looks at your baby, the baby you're going to have or the baby you just had, and says, this child has value. And this child is vulnerable. And you know that because you have that response. Your milk comes in. You literally have to go feed your baby. Like, biologically, you know that that baby needs you. But don't forget that your husband, and don't forget that you also are vulnerable and you are valuable. And we talked about that in that scripture, Zephaniah, that we shared. But keep that in your mind as we move into looking at every human heart, because every human heart has vulnerability and has value. And it's endless. Like, the Lord loves each of you so much that he sent his Son on this earth to die a bloody, horrible, horrible, horrible death. The death that Jesus died on the cross was, it would be the equivalent, and I was reading this morning about the similarities and likes to, you know, we wear the cross for jewelry, and I know Brett's talked about that, how the electric chair, but I was also reading how it's comparable to a Jewish person actually having a Jewish camp around their neck from Auschwitz, and it would just be repulsive to do that. That's how the cross was looked at the time of Jesus's death. So he did something that was horrible. It was repugnant and not anything that was welcomed, not anything that was used to decorate with. He took that for us. So keep that in mind in your relationship with yourself, with God, with your husband, with God, and then with your baby, with God, that each one of you are so valuable, highly valuable, and vulnerable. You need Jesus. That's the way we're going to get through this, is with the Lord. So in Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for this is the wellspring of life. Now, the reason why Marna and I wanted to kind of circle through all this with you is because it's not because you're being selfish. There is huge confusion out there in terms of taking time for yourself, girls' night out. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about those things. We're not talking about things that are indulgent. We're not talking about things that are maybe extra things that, you know, whatever. Let's call those electives, okay? What we're talking about are the 101 things, the things that you have to have in your life to actually live a balanced, healthy life, so that when you have the baby, all the transitioning's happening, and you have more kids as you go on in life, that your home is a home that reflects order, reflects the Holy Spirit, that your marriage continues to thrive and be that example of love for each other, mm-hmm. that can also be a testimony to the world and glorify God. Does that make sense? Okay, so guarding your heart, not in a selfish way, but just keeping eye on the fact that you and your husband and your baby have value and you're vulnerable. Guard your heart, for out of it is the wellspring of life. Like Marna was referring to, the reason why you protect your marriage so much beyond any other things, and yes, it is hard, and in your flesh, we will fail. But with the Holy Spirit in our lives giving us strength, that is what will bring us back to each other. And then we'll be able to continue to live our life until we breathe our last.
Yes.
Right? And we're facing Jesus.
Yes.
Is there anything you wanted to add to that?
Well, kind of going with
what
you're saying, and you had referred already to the delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And you've already touched on that.
Yeah.
And I know
but
that,
you have a story. Don't you have a story?
Well, I know that I have something the Lord has taught me since I was very small with this verse.
Uh-huh.
And that my mom, we used to go shopping. And she would try to buy clothes, and I would just be really stubborn, and I don't like that. And my poor mom, she was so patient with me. But I had it. I just, the Lord helped me to see by the time I was a teenager that I would get a picture of my mind of what I wanted, and I wasn't going to be happy until I got what I wanted. And he began to really help me with this. And that is, don't want those things. Your pictures, and of course, this kind of terminology came later in life, but my pictures of what I want for my life can become my idols. And if I want what I want, I can hurt people, I can hurt myself to get what I want. And that's not the Lord. He knows that is not best for us. He created us. He knows what's best for us. And he says, delight yourself in me, and let me give you your desires. So he knows we have a desire for a family life. We have a desire for good communication with our husbands. We have a desire to love and be loved. We have all of those desires. But as we delight ourselves in him, we can allow him to put desires in our heart, but also to be the one to fulfill them. And a lot, very often, that involves waiting on him. But he is so faithful. He teaches us, he cleanses us, he purifies us. But that too is, I think, life-changing verses for me, again, in the early parts of our marriage, were Lamentations 3, 24 through 26. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. We can know that in waiting for him and putting our hope in him, his salvation is on the way. He will save us. But he teaches us in those times what it is to be patient. And patience, so often we'll say, oh, don't pray for patience, it'll bring trials. But patience is a wonderful thing. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Patience brings stability to our hearts and our souls. It's something we actually want and that we thrive under. But
I wanted to encourage you too, because you can imagine that if I were to call Marna back in the day when things were a little, what's happening, you know, our husbands are busy or whatever, do not be afraid to actually share scripture with your friends. Because oftentimes, Marna, you could tell that Marna was seeking the Lord and learning from the Lord, and I was able to get under the spout. I think the saying is get under the spout where the blessings come out, something like that. That was a spout that I could get under because blessing was coming out because of the word of God. So if I was, you know, a flutter about something and she were to answer me, just remember, Debbie, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. I mean, she could have been literally reading it out of the word. I wouldn't have known that. But, you know, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. That's speaking truth to your friend. Mm-hmm. That's actually helping you get the compass back of where the friend needs to go, true north, right? For his compassions never fail. No matter what the situation, his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You can start over in your relationship with your kids, in your relationship with your husband. You can start over. That's the truth. So don't be afraid to share the truth with your friends of scripture. Not, and I'm not insulting you, but like, put down the magazines. The Instagram articles are never going to stop. The algorithms are meant to deter you, distract you, have us all not walk with the Lord. Like, put all that stuff down. Get in the word, and that's the actual truth, you know? I wanted to circle back to, after we talked about who is Jesus, so Psalm 113, 5 through 9, in case you're looking at your notes, Isaiah 9, verse 2 through 7, and then Hebrews 1, verse 1 through 3. So taking these things to God in terms of how every human heart has vulnerability and value, and Proverbs 4:23 to guard our heart. So this is something that has been, in a nutshell, when you do get to the happy chat, this is a little bit like the tell-all of personal responsibility, right? This is what you're doing. It's a reset for your kids at home, okay? But the thing that's funny about the happy chat is, and what I like, it's not funny, it's actually completely serious, but in the world where there's so many people who kind of fly off the handle and don't really have a behavioral plan for themselves, how are you supposed to have one for your kids if you don't have one for yourself? So what I'm glad we included on this is to ask yourself these questions before you go about any kind of discipline. The reason why we're not addressing that necessarily this week is because we'll start that next week. So I encourage you to come, even if you don't have kids in that age, but come. So, you know, register and sign up and online, go ahead and watch. But we will be going through a very definite plan of discipline. But what we need to do first, you guys, is make sure we have our act together, right? Make sure that we have our thoughts and our behavior and our, you know, even our beliefs, making sure that we're not agreeing with the world, that we're actually going with what the word says. We want to make sure that all of those things are in line with the Lord and that we accept full responsibility for those things, because we cannot step out and even begin to think about disciplining our kids until we have actually disciplined ourselves. Again, going back to my little post-it note, say no to the bad and saying yes to the good. It's simple, but it's really true. To say yes to the good means that we do have to accept responsibility for our own actions and the things that we think, and that means that we have to work hard and circle back around and talk to the Lord about those things, be very aware of our actions. Have we eaten? Is our blood sugar off? Is our, you know, are we dehydrated? Did I take my right medicine? I have to take thyroid medicine. Did I take my medicine today, or am I making everyone suffer because I have not been a very good patient? You have to ask those questions to yourself, and if you can't ask those questions, have a trusted friend who can help you with that, and obviously your husband as well. But all that to say, we were going to introduce to you the Happy Chat, and that is teaching personal responsibility to your children, which is essential. They need to know that they are responsible for themselves and that their thoughts, feelings, behavior, and beliefs are valid, but that they're responsible for it. So when you review the Happy Chat this week, just be thinking about that. Like, I need to be able to relate to my kids that they are actually responsible for their own behavior. Because that's really what we're talking about here, is I'm responsible for my behavior, my husband's responsible for his behavior, and your kids are responsible for their own behavior. Now, obviously, when they're first born, there's a little bit of clockwork and all that. You give them about a year and a half or whatever. But I'm just saying, we have to put these things into our mind now so that you can be prepared. Because once they start showing, and Marna has a really cute way of saying this, which we'll get to maybe this week, but maybe next week. You know, they're born knowing a lot about how to sin. You don't even have to teach them that. It kind of comes with the package, you know? So that's why we have to wrap our minds about, wow, you know, we don't really have to work too hard to get mad or to lie or be deceitful. We really actually, none of us have to work very hard at any of that stuff. It kind of literally comes by nature, mm-hmm. including our kids. And so next week we'll talk about spanking that rat out of them. No, just kidding. It won't be that wild. But we are going to talk to you a little bit about just that cycle that happens. You know, we teach our kids what we're reflecting. They are going to observe it. They're going to see what's shining out of you, Mom. What's shining out of you? And so that's why guard your heart, for out of it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart. Be in communication with the Lord and be asking him, what is it you want me to adjust? What do I need to adjust before I ask everyone else to adjust for me? What would you have me to adjust in my life? So one thing that I wanted to, did you have anything to add to that?
No, that was just great.
Okay, good. So, so if we are in a healthy place, you walking with Jesus, your husband walking with the Lord, then we are going to demonstrate that to our kids. And if we are in an unhealthy place, we'll also demonstrate that to our kids. I wanted to make sure and get that kind of point to you guys. So in Matthew, there's going to be actually two identical, almost identical scriptures. One is Matthew 14:27, and then the other one is John. No. I'm wrong. When I was taking my notes, I didn't write it down. Oh, it's in John. I think it's in chapter 6. Okay, but it is cool that the both scriptures. So, you know, John was the disciple that was, actually Matthew and John were both disciples that really walked with Jesus. So it's really neat that they both came upon this scripture. And I'm sharing with you this scripture because I felt like the Lord wanted to encourage all of us about the Lord's presence and his protection and his provision to us. Right? So this is that part where last week we talked about how there was a storm, and it was a storm on the Sea of Galilee. And what happens is in Matthew, it says, immediately Jesus spoke to them, have courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. And then in John, also it says, immediately he spoke with them and said, have courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. So in one case, it says he spoke to them. In another case, it says he spoke with them, which is interesting in terms of what was Matthew's personality like compared to John's. John was the disciple of love, so with them is a little different than to them, which is a little more specific of how Matthew wrote. Very specific details, very law-driven. It's just very interesting. But I think in both cases, though, what do we get? We get Jesus saying, have courage. It is I. Be not afraid. And so I think that's what we need to make sure and do as moms, that we're looking to Jesus in our times when we feel fearful, that we'll have courage and we'll understand that it is him. He is with us and we don't have to be afraid. Again, just going back to that understanding that if we learn these things as moms at this stage in your life, then your littles are going to learn it much easier and much quicker. And they'll grab on and they'll have an understanding that is going to be far beyond what you had at their age. I continue to be really blown away at the goodness of God in my life with my kids at a young age because they were saturated in the Word. We were coming to church and we're very Bible, you know, centered. You guys know this. I literally could trust my kids to learn so much. So I would pick them up after a Sunday or a Wednesday and I would say, well, what'd you learn today? And I'm picturing the little cartoon. That's all they're going to do is a little drawing. And so, okay, that's nice. Let's go. They would tell me full sermons practically. I was blown away at the depth and the amount of knowledge that little kids can take into their minds. So just know that at a very young age, that's why the little ABC book that I showed out before, at a young age, give your kids the Word of God. It will expand their mind. It will expand their wisdom. It'll give them an opportunity to understand the Lord in a way that will be far beyond what you could have ever asked or thought. The Lord is good to answer that desire in your heart. Again, going back to Psalm 37. So don't be afraid, like Marna said, to come boldly to the throne of grace and present that to the Lord. If you have a desire for your kids to just go leaps and bounds in the Lord, ask God that. Ask him. Say, Lord, I won't be able to deliver this. Maybe use a Sunday school teacher. Maybe use a volunteer at church. Maybe use part of what I'm doing, but whatever you have in the plan for this child, will you expand this child? Will you bless this child? Will you expand my mind? Will you bless my mind? Will you allow me to be washed in the word and allow me to understand that I'm free and that I can be absorbed by your grace? And it's in that then every day you can start over, like the scripture that Marna shared from Lamentations. His mercies are new every morning. It's new. Mm-hmm. It's new. Have you ever seen a beautiful field right after the snow and how amazing it is? Mm-hmm. And you go out and maybe with your kids, you go clomp, clomp, clomp in the snow and it just messes up the field. It just is messy. It doesn't look very good. It's got spots all over it. And what was once clean, it's just got a bunch of polka dots all over it. Then you come back in the house and it snows again. And then you look out on the field and it's white as snow again. And that's rinse and repeat with the love of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Just rinse and repeat. You got spots, you're going to see snow. Mm-hmm. You got spots, white as snow. You got spots, still white as snow. Because his love is a refreshment for us. Mm-hmm. It's new every morning we get this mercy and we get to take that in. And when you're taking that in, your kids are going to see that. They are going to see that. They're going to see a mom marked by grace. And that's what we need. That's what our kids need. They'll crave Jesus if they see that in you. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
So now we're going to transition a little bit. Do you have some scriptures to share?
Maybe after transition.
All right. Well, batter up. Okay. Let's take notes on this because we won't be able to break down this entirely, but I think for you to take notes and then look at your leisure again. So these are some points for you to know that are fun, that I thought would be so fun for you to grab onto as moms. So Jesus spoke in metaphors, as you know. Mm-hmm. So there's a few things. So you got your pencils out. John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So my sweet, I asked her, let me ask, can you raise your hand if it's okay for me to talk about your bread, Kenzie? Okay. Kenzie makes the most amazing, amazing sourdough bread. Amazing. And I'm in this test right now because I'm not supposed to have gluten. I'm in this test to try it a little bit. It's very hard because it's the best bread I've ever had. But I'm only supposed to have a little bit each week. And then I'm going to retest and see if it's messed me up. Okay. Because I'm one of those that bloats and all that stuff. But apparently with sourdough, it's a different thing. Now, what does this have to do with John 6:35? I'll tell you. So Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Now let me tell you, if you have a bite of Kenzie's sourdough bread, you start to understand this scripture makes sense to me now. It's the best bread I've ever had. I could live off this bread. It's so good. It's so good. And I put the grass-fed butter in all the things. So I, it's so good. But what did Jesus say? I am the bread of life. So as a mom, how fun is it, right? Kenzie will be able to make this bread and she'll be able to give it to Boaz someday. And he'll say, oh, mommy, this bread is so good. And she'll be able to say, but you know what's even better? That Jesus is the bread of life. You just ate your bread and it's gone. But Jesus is with us forever. He'll always be our bread. It won't get empty. I don't have to make Jesus. He's here. He's got it. So that's just one metaphor that you can have fun. Maybe it's a biscuit, maybe you do cookies, whatever your thing is. But like, it's so fun to take these metaphors that Jesus gave us in scripture. He says, I'm the light of the world, right? In John 8:12, another one that's so fun. You can light candles, that's a super fun one. And talk about light and what light is and how much it fills the room. And then talk about how Jesus said to us, he is the light of the whole world. And what that actually would look like. I mean, for a little kiddo to look at a candle and think, oh, imagine if there were millions of these on, how bright the world would be. And you can explain that in that metaphor. Jesus said in John 10:7 that he's the gate for the sheep. So that's what protects those sheep. Letting those sheep go in and out of a field, he is the gate. In John 10:11, he's the good shepherd. So he takes care of those sheep. And then in John 11:25, he's the resurrection and the life. In John 14:6, he says he's the way, the truth, and the life. In John 15:1, he says he's the true vine. And in Revelation 2:23, it says, "Then all the churches will know that I am the one who examines minds and hearts, and I will give to each of you according to your works." And in Revelation 22:16, it says, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to attest these things to you for the churches. I am the root and descendant of David, the bright morning star." Those are two things right there. You can go out. It's funny, but kids will do this. You go out and you pick those dandelions. Have you ever seen how deep those roots can go? They're deep, but you have to really dig them out. So if you're with your little kiddo, you have to dig out that root, and you take out the root. And then you say, "Ah, you know who said he's actually the root? Descending way deeper than this root, clear to David. Look at, let's go through and look how much generations there are. How many? Oh my goodness. Isn't that amazing?" Jesus says he's a root, but not a kind of root that's only this big. He's so big. You can use your mind on all of these metaphors and go through. And then the bright and morning star, if your kids are ever up very, very early, which is highly likely, sometimes you'll go out and you'll see that nice bright morning star out there, and you can talk about these things. But we just have to bring them to mind in order to understand that, man, the Lord can take these things and help us to translate it to our kids so that they can understand. And in you feeding your children the bread of life, you're going to get fed too. It's the sweetest thing that God can do that for us. So in Ephesians, we're going to transfer over now to so that you can understand that all along the way in your life, he's working on your behalf. In Ephesians 1, verse 11 and 12, it says, "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory." So as you commit your pregnancy and this first season of time with your new one, just pray and commit it to the Lord, knowing that you're chosen, you've been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity of his will. Things might not seem like they're working out, like Marna shared, according to your perfect will, but it is working out according to God's will, which is so sweet. So when you think about your expectations, you can ask yourself, okay, I just read the truth, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. So my thoughts about this particular topic, was I thinking in a healthy way or in an unhealthy way? And just ask yourself that, because again, it's just part of you taking the temperature well before it's ever time for you to have a happy chat with your child. You take the temperature on your own self to ask yourself, was I thinking in a healthy way or an unhealthy way? Again, taking that personal responsibility on as you walk with Christ. That is our walk in our life, is to walk with Christ. The next part of that scripture says, "And you were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." That's Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. So if you just take Ephesians, actually the whole book, but if you just take Ephesians 1, 11 through 14, that gets you to the part that we just talked about. Was there anything that you wanted to share?
Yeah. That sounds great.
You good? You good? Okay, so now let's go to 2 Corinthians 13. And Marna and I talked about a few things in 2 Corinthians 13. Obviously, in 1 Corinthians 13, you have the love chapter. But in 2 Corinthians, it's directive to the body. So this is neat. It talks a little bit, and this is tying back to the your heart, to guard your heart, for out of it is the wellspring of life. So in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, it says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test." And Paul goes on to talk about, this is not a legality thing of salvation or not. He's actually a couple verses after that. He's talking about, did we fail you? And he doesn't mean fail. He just means, did we let you down? Did we not get this straight? But back to the point, examine yourself. It's okay for you to say, what is going on with me? What is going on? Am I lacking faith? Like, what's, and that again is in a multitude of counselors, their lack is not wisdom. for you to be able to have women in your life, Titus 2 women, women who can pray for you, trusted women in your life who you can really say, I need to examine this. I need to actually see, am I thinking, you know, straight about this? And then in verse 11 and then in 14, it says, finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. So those are some sweet things to try to look for. And then finally, it says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And that's really what we aim to do, huh? Is have fellowship and have the Holy Spirit within us. We know we've got that deposit as a guarantee, which is so sweet, of the inheritance that we will one day get face to face with Jesus. But that interaction that we have with the Lord is something you can have all day long, and it's yours for the taking, it's mine for the taking. But we have to be active in our mind in terms of letting ourselves not get so afraid that we become disconnected from the Lord and then become, oops, accidentally overly clingy to our husbands. But that can also turn into, oh no, I'm being overly clingy with our kids, and create this whole cycle that is not meant the way it's supposed to be. It doesn't glorify God to do that. It drives the people around you crazy. I'm just letting you know, because word of warning, I've done it. So just let you know, like, I'm so human. But that's why I'm passing this on to you, right? Because if I can learn it, you guys can learn it. And your life can be better by having the Lord order your days and help him actually direct your steps and help your mind be at ease, because you're at peace with God. And then nothing else needs to get in the way. Just you stay with Jesus. You stay in your lane with Jesus. And there's other things that are going to happen, but you stay in your lane with Jesus. And the thing is now I'm going to put the halo. Judy always says, oh, I feel like a halo goes around my head. But I have to brag about Judy Slaughter. That's how she lives. That's how she has lived her life. She loves Jesus. She's in the lane with Jesus. Can you imagine how many hundreds and thousands of women have talked to her through the years? If she were to actually absorb all of the drama and trauma that we all have brought to her, she would be a wreck. She would be an actual wreck. No one could take that. Only actually Jesus can take that. But what Judy is a master of is being able to say, I am walking with Jesus, and I am protected, I am sealed, I have the Holy Spirit, I'm walking in fellowship with him, and I'm trusting in him, and it doesn't matter all the chatter that's going around outside, because that's outside of her spot, her place with Jesus. That's outside. That's your thing. That's not her thing. Okay? So that's what we all have to do, that, because think about it, with your kids, they're going to be coming to you wanting to do this and this and this, or maybe they're going to cry for a little bit longer than what you thought, and that's going to pull at your heart too. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, you're outside of your little space with you and Jesus. You're outside of it, and you're practically inside the crib. And no one wants you there. You're too big for the crib. But the grace of Jesus can be with us. So let's pray these things in, and then we'll go to our groups, and we'll have a wonderful night. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for your love for us, for your mercy for us, for your forgiveness, for your kindness to us, Lord, your faithfulness, yes, and your gentleness.
Thank you,
Lord, for just running life with us, for really being such a good God and being the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that we get to serve you, we get to put you first, and we get to watch you make our lives happen. So we commit this night and this time with you to you, and we pray now for the prayer circles, mm-hmm. that you would bless the women. Bless this time, Lord, and guard us, protect our families, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.